Just keep singing if it was up to me. Those beautiful songs, David. Appreciate it so much. It's always a joy to be together with you. It's such a wonderful time to be here assembled together on Sunday morning to look out over this audience and see so many smiling faces, so many friendly people, God's people, worshiping together. That is an encouragement to me. I know it's an encouragement to you. And I know it glorifies God, and so that's something that we're all thankful for. I'd be amiss if I didn't take this moment to thank everyone here. This is probably the most encouraging congregation I could ever imagine. There's so many times in our time here that we receive pats on the backs, letters of encouragement, verbal compliments, things of that nature that literally have kept us going at times, have made us motivated us at times, and just we are so thankful for that kind of encouragement. Also, we're so thankful for the generous fellowship meal that was provided for us last week. We got to go first in line. That was a treat. Not only that, but the very many cards, the generous gifts that were given to us, we can't say thank you enough for the outpouring of love and the benevolence that you've showed us here at Delrayda over the past 5 years. Also, the eldership here at Delrayda is second to none. We're blessed to have them, and to work with them and under their guidance was a blessing in my life that I'll always be thankful for. And so I wanted to say that before we begin. So let's get our Bibles out and open our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5. And notice verse 1. This text here in Ephesians 5 and verse 1 will springboard us into the topic that I want to discuss for a few moments this morning. The Bible tells us, Paul writes there in Ephesians 5 verse 1, very simple passage, "Therefore be imitators of God as beloved children." As short as that verse is, we can recognize immediately the challenge that we find therein. To be an imitator of God is a pretty lofty challenge. But you and I, as Christians, as we take the words that are written on this page seriously, we are to be imitators of God. That is, we are to find certain qualities about God that we are to demonstrate in our own lives. We are infinitely less than God, so we can never be on the same level, or we're not saying that in any way, shape, or form. But rather, we should to look at God and His example and the qualities that He demonstrates to us, and we are to try to imitate those in our lives. One example of that is love. We are to love as God loves us, unconditionally. We're to love as Christ loves us, to give our life for one another if we need to. That kind of love, that far-reaching love. But that's not the quality of God that I want to discuss this morning. You know, the Bible describes our God as a God of peace, a God of peace. And I want us to think just for a few moments about the God of peace and the peace of God and make some applications to us as Christians and how we're to live our lives and what it means to be at peace with God and to demonstrate peace in our lives. And so as we stop and think, the world has kind of watered down the concept of peace in our minds, perhaps. Pop culture has various definitions for the word of peace. It's used mostly in our terminology as the absence of war and concepts such as that. When we hear the word peace, some of us may automatically think back to the 60s and 70s and the word, the way it was used in that time. And to some of us, that may even be offensive to think of the way that word was used and the associations concerning that. Those are far removed from the biblical concept of peace. And that is what I want us to discuss this morning. Specifically, I want us to study how the Bible uses the word peace. Then I want us to increase our understanding of the God of peace. Then learn to imitate the peace of God and apply those findings to our lives so we can use the peace of God in our lives. So a simple Webster's dictionary definition of peace is just insufficient for our study this morning. We need to look to the Word of God, and we'll start in the Old Testament and notice how the word was used in the Old Testament. The Hebrew word shalom or shalom was the word that is used for peace in our Bibles in the Old Testament. It is used in various ways and means many things. It's one of those words that is not easily defined. It's not easily described. It's not a simple definition that we can attach to it. It's kind of a multifaceted, a multi-dimensional word that encompasses a lot in life. And the word peace, the shalom, was used as a common greeting, a way in which we ask someone or would ask someone how they were doing. As in Genesis 29 and verse 6, when he said to them, "Is it well with him?" That's Jacob asking about Laban. Is it well with him? He used the word shalom there to ask, is he doing well? It also was defined or had the definition of peace from enemies, implying prosperity at that time. As in Psalm 29 and 11, may the Lord bless his people with peace. It also had the concept of inward peace, from a trusting in God. In Proverbs 3, 1 and 2, you may be familiar with this passage. My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace, those commandments will add to you. The righteous in the Old Testament were taught to pursue peace. Pursue peace. Verse 14 of Psalm 34, turn away from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it, a verse that Peter quoted in his epistle. In one form or another, one commentator said, the notions of wholeness, of health, of completeness inform all the variants of the word. Peace is not then simply a negative, the absence of war. Peace is a positive notion, a notion with its own content. And so that by summary, as we look at the Old Testament usage of the word peace, we see that it indicated wellness, the absence of war, prosperity, and trust in God. It was also something that someone or that a person must pursue and lay hold of, a wholeness of the heart. That's how the Hebrew Scriptures use the word peace in its various definitions. Well, as we turn our Bibles to the pages of the New Testament, we find the word used often in New Testament Scripture. It was part of the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Acts 10:36 tells us that as for the word that he sent to Israel, preaching good news of peace through Jesus Christ. In Romans 5:1, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Peace in the New Testament was something that you and I as Christians should cherish and follow. 2 Corinthians 13:11, finally, brothers, rejoice, aim for restoration, comfort one another, agree with one another, live in peace. Obviously, what's under consideration there is our relationships with each other. And if we live in peace, if we do those things mentioned in that verse, notice the God of love and peace will be with you. Romans 12:18, if possible, so far as it depends upon you, live peaceably with all. God is defined several places in the New Testament, and we'll look at these in detail in just a moment, as the God of peace. Romans 15:33, may the God of peace be with you all. Peace is also used, similar to that of the Old Testament, as a greeting and as a farewell address in the New Testament. The Lord often greeted his disciples, peace be unto you. He often would tell them as they departed, go in peace. Go in peace. And so by summary, peace is the peace that Christ brought is primarily a spiritual peace from and with God, peace in the heart, peace as the disposition or spirit. It should characterize the life of a Christian. It should be sought by such. And once again, it represents a wholeness and a completeness of heart, a trust that calms and sustains. That is how we could define all that together, how the Bible uses the word peace. And I think all of us would agree if we stopped for a moment and we could all ask ourselves the question, do I want that kind of peace in my life? We would all say yes. Of course I want that kind of peace in my life. I want what is described there. I want it in my heart. I want it to be a defining characteristic of who I am. And so as we continue our study, let's for a moment stop and try to understand the God of peace. And I know that I'm not in that saying that we can truly grasp and understand the concept of who God is, but that which has been revealed to us, we can understand. And so let us understand that at least at six times in the New Testament, the Bible refers to God as the God of peace. As in Romans 15 and 33, we mentioned this earlier, that the God of peace may be with us all. And this is ending a concluding statement in the book of Romans, imploring the Romans to pray with Paul that he might come to Rome to be with them. And interestingly, Paul refers to God as the God of patience in verse 5 of the same chapter. and the God of hope in verse 13 of this same chapter. He was evidently defining the characteristics and qualities that God demonstrates. Romans 16 and verse 20, later on in this book, towards the conclusion, Paul makes this statement, a very interesting statement, that the God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. Now, we don't normally associate peace with crushing someone, but this is the terminology that Paul uses here, that the God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. And when we stop and think about that for a moment, it brings a great spiritual truth concerning the peace of God to light. At first glance, it seems strange, but Paul is stressing the fact that God is working to eliminate Satan, the one who seeks to destroy, our accuser, our adversary, the one who brings the opposite of peace in our lives. God will bring peace into that situation. John 16, 33, you may recall Jesus comforting his disciples by saying, in the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome this world. I will bring peace. 2 Corinthians 13, 11, once again, God is referred to as the God of love and peace with us all, and also that verse commands those Christians to live in peace. Philippians 4, 9, the verse that John read just a moment ago, and what you have learned and received and heard in me, practice these things. Paul was saying, the things I've taught you, please do them. And if you do them, the God of peace will be with you. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 23, now the God of peace himself sanctifies you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And finally, Hebrews 13, 20 through 21. Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with every good that you may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. It may seem a little tedious for us to go through each of those passages, but I want to impress upon you the fact that God is referred to over and over again as the God of peace. And I believe that's significant. I believe that if the writers of the New Testament refer to him in that way over and over again, there's a message in that for us that we should grab hold of and base our lives upon. We serve the God of peace. And that means something. That matters. And so as we continue, let's note this, that each one of these is found at the conclusion of a letter. The author was writing to a church most often, and in writing to him, towards the conclusion, he refers to the God that we all serve as the God of peace. It functioned as a farewell statement, as a way in which we should be encouraged and motivated to continue in Christian services. From these passages, we learn that the God of peace will be with Christians. He will crush Satan, sanctify you completely, to aid in keeping us blameless, equip us with everything good that we may do his will. And from these passages, we learn that we as Christians should do this: trust that God will be with us, trust that God will deliver us from Satan, rejoice, aim for restoration, comfort one another, agree with one another, live in peace, practice those things that they've learned, received, and heard and seen in Paul, and look to God, the God of peace, for sanctification, to seek to live blamelessly before him, and to seek to do the God of the peace's will. I know that's a lot, but I want to impress upon us, we should be impressed by that fact of that God is a God of peace. And those characteristics, those blessings that you and I as Christians gain from the fact of who he is something that we should take comfort in. Now, third this morning, I want us to think about for just a moment imitating the peace of God. Going back to the passage that was our springboard into our study this morning, that we're to be imitators of God, a very lofty challenge for us to try to do, to be an imitator of God, to imitate the peace of God in our lives. If we look at that passage and going back in context, it starts with the word therefore, which links it with what has just been said. And if we look specifically at chapter 4 and verse 32, the Bible reads, "Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you." I can't think of a better description of being peaceful and living at peace than Ephesians 4 and verse 32. Being kind to one another. Boy, wouldn't that take care of a lot of problems in this world if we could just be kind one to another. It's a characteristic you and I as Christians, we should display no matter what the circumstances are, no matter how unkind someone is being to us, to be kind one to another, to be tender-hearted, to forgive one another as God in Christ forgave you. We want to imitate God. We can start right here with this verse. God the Father, through Christ Jesus, who is the Prince of Peace, brought peace between God and man and for man. And as we imitate the God of peace, our hearts will rejoice no matter what befalls us, due to the fact that the most significant obstacle in life has been removed. You see, we have been brought near to God by the blood of Christ, the Bible teaches us, that we have been made at peace with God because of the sacrifice of Christ. As we just remembered, as we partook of the Lord's Supper just a moment ago, the sacrifice Christ made for us brought peace between God and man. We can live at peace with the God of peace. We can live in the peace of God, imitating that, demonstrating that for all to see. And as we are to be imitators of God, notice Ephesians 5:1 says, how? As beloved children. You know, children love to imitate. In fact, that's one of the greatest ways that they learn, by modeling, by noticing what is being done around them and by replicating that in their lives. It's easy to tell a child to do something, but when they see it done, they can it's much easier for them to do it. And we, as children of God, we are we look and notice what other Christians around us are doing, and we can model our behavior, our actions, after what we see around us. Just look at and think of how often you see children playing games such as follow what? The leader. Simon Says, imitating, doing what they see. I can remember James being very young. I may have used this example before, but it sticks out in my mind. It was a sort of a slap in the face, if you will. One day I came home from work and changed clothes and put on some shorts and a t-shirt, and I was walking around the house doing various things, trying to settle down, and James looks up at me and says, Daddy, I look just like you. I said, yeah, you're my son. You know, you look a lot like me. He said, no, I look just like you. He was about 3 years old. And then I noticed he was wearing the same color shirt, the same color shorts that I had on. I don't know if he went and put that on after he saw me wearing that. Maybe he did that. But the lesson there was he noticed. He noticed. We are to be imitators as beloved children. As beloved children. In order for us to imitate God, and imitate the peace of God in our lives, brothers and sisters, we have to study that who we're imitating, the individual who we are trying to imitate. If we're to be imitators of God, we have got to know it. James obviously paid close attention to what I was wearing at that point in time. And if we're not paying close attention to the message that God has taught us about peace, well, we'll miss it. We'll miss it. Open your Bibles to Philippians chapter 4. Actually, we'll start in chapter 3. Paul uses the same terminology, a little bit of different context here. Starting in verse 17 of chapter 3, brothers, he says, join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example that you have in us. Now notice here, he then gives a negative example of individuals who obviously aren't imitating Paul. He says, for many of whom I have often told you and now tell you even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction. Their God is their belly. And they glory in their shame, their minds set on earthly things. Verse 20, but our citizenship is in heaven. And from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body, by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. I don't know about you, but that passage gives me a sense of peace in my heart. My citizenship is in heaven, and that is from where I await my Savior, Jesus Christ, to return, to take me to be with him forever and always. That gives me such a sense of peace to think of that. Fast forward a few verses to chapter 4, verses 7 through 9, what John read to us just a moment ago, and notice how the concept of the peace of God is sandwiches the information we find here. Verse 7, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things." And sometimes we end our reading right there. Notice verse 9, though. "And what you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you." The peace that you and I experience as Christians, it's not easily defined. It transcends human understanding. You know, it doesn't make sense to the world. It's something that we can't necessarily convince them of at times. The atheist doesn't understand it. The worldly individual, the individual walking, as Paul mentioned there in Philippians chapter 3, whose God is their belly, they don't have that sense of peace. They don't understand it. And so it doesn't make sense to them. But you and I know that with the world raging around us, with certain troubles befalling us, we have a peace that passes understanding, even in the most difficult of situations. It's a peace that allows us to pillow our head at night, even knowing that the next day will bring troubles with it, that will be difficult to navigate. It's a peace that we know that no matter what happens to us, the God of peace will be with us during those times. It's this peace that helps guard our hearts and our minds by thinking on those things that Paul writes about in verse 8 of Philippians 4. Those things that are honorable and virtuous. Those things that are good and holy and just. Those are the things that take up our thoughts and our minds. It's the peace that helps us to guard our hearts and minds. And finally, it's that peace that motivates us to practice those things that we have been taught in the Word of God. The things that we have seen faithful members of our Lord's church who've gone on before us practice and demonstrate in their lives as they've imitated the peace of God in their lives. It helps us keep on going no matter what is going on around us. You know, if you stop and think about it and you go back to that day in which our Lord hung on that cross, before that time the cross stood as an instrument of fear in the minds and hearts of people around it. And no doubt when they decided to crucify our Lord, part of that was to intimidate and to strike fear in the hearts of those around us, especially those Christians, so they could see their Lord and their Savior hung on this cross. But it backfired on them, because the cross no longer is an instrument of fear, but an instrument of peace, and that it has brought salvation and peace to mankind. I can think of no better song, no better words that encompass this peace that you and I have the blessing to experience in our lives. And the song, "It Is Well With My Soul." "When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. And Lord, haste the day when faith shall be sight, and the clouds be rolled back as a scroll. The trump shall resound, and the dead, and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul." The question that we need to ask ourselves this morning, is it well with our souls? Do I have the peace of God in my life this morning? If I can't say that, if I can't answer that question by a resounding yes, then something needs to change, something needs to be done. We shouldn't leave the doors of this facility without ensuring that I have peace in my life. Peace between me and my God, a peace that transcends this world about us, a peace that longs for the coming of our Lord from heaven, a peace that knows that the God of peace will be with me no matter what befalls me in my life. Is that a characteristic of your life? Can you say that you are imitating God in that manner? If you can't, why not? Please allow someone to help you today. Maybe you've never obeyed the gospel. You can be baptized into Christ this morning and become at peace with God and experience that. Perhaps you have and are in need of the prayers of the church and encouragement. You have that opportunity as well. If we can help you this morning, we would love to do so. And we'll help you as if you come down to the front, as together we stand as we sing.